This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Welcome in. It is hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. Time now for Zach Wolchuk's NFL News of the Day. Here he is.
Wolchuk. All right. So we've got a couple of things that are developing when it comes to quarterbacks in the National Football League. I already saw this. The Rams in talks apparently with the Giants. Now, this is Colin Cowherd who's kind of throwing some of this chum in the water. So I don't know, like, is he really, really well connected with either party here with the Rams or the Giants? We've seen Colin have tremendous moments and then also some not so good moments. But he is saying the Rams want the number three pick for the Giants if they were to trade Matthew Stafford. Rams don't want to restructure Stafford's deal and are getting tired of the public stuff that comes with his family. You know, the wife's got a podcast now. I just played the audio last week, earlier this week, of Kelly Stafford kind of firing some shots at the Rams. Like, what are we doing here? You want to trade Cooper Kupp? Like, we're here to win. My husband wants to win. So the Rams could look to then trade down from three to acquire more picks next year and then move up for a quarterback, because they might not like any of the specific quarterbacks in this year's class. But if you're the Giants, I don't know. Like, this would be one of those, Brian, you are a general manager and a head coach that are, I don't care about the future. I'm trying to save my job.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Matthew Stafford is saving my job
absolutely.
Right now.
Yeah, this is that mode. It's, I'm going to make this trade. I'm going to try and save my job. And whatever happens, if it doesn't work, that's going to be somebody else's problem. It's not going to be my problem anymore. So, yeah, if you were to make a deal like this, you're absolutely, then you would probably have ownership that would step in and say, listen, we're not doing that. You know, we're not going to. And if you think that we are going to do it, then you could just go ahead and pack your gear and get on out of here. You know, so I just, you know, sometimes these owners will let the general managers do what they need to do. And if it works, great. If it doesn't work, then they'll just fire them and put somebody else in that spot. And you always feel like, hey, we're going to give this guy a shot. We brought him back. We're going to give him one more shot. But, man, I would be really surprised if they traded the third overall pick for Matthew Stafford.
I would, too. That doesn't seem like that smart. But then again, the Giants haven't really shown that they're very smart with some of the moves they've made. Now pass rusher Kayvon Thibodeau, which I think you had as the best player in his draft class, right? Am I wrong on that?
He was top three.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think everybody from that draft was like, yeah, Kayvon Thibodeau's an absolute savage out of Oregon. He's open to free agency if the Giants don't pick up his fifth-year option on his rookie deal. It's amazing that's already kind of where we are at the stage of Thibodeau's career. He said, quote, I mean, I was a high draft pick who came in with Joe Schoen and Brian Daboll. I'm excited to see what happens, but if they don't pick it up, I have the option to go to the open market, which creates a whole other dynamic. So there is one of their best players on the roster that's also very open to seeing what the future holds. Now, if they make a trade for Matthew Stafford, maybe that just changes everybody's vibe inside of that building. But The Giants all of a sudden have become a very interesting team to see what they do. Do they move the third overall pick for a quarterback? Do they stay there and end up taking a quarterback? We'll have to monitor what happens with inside the division. Now, we got the scouting combine invites today. Everybody who is going to go to Indianapolis has been revealed. The big thing here, Travis Hunter. What position group is he going to be with? And he will be with the defensive backs. That is where he will be evaluated as a draft prospect in Indy. Listed as a DB is noteworthy. It might be the new full-time position. I'm sure any team that takes him will have a plan for both sides of the football, or else I think you're wasting the talent of the player.
Okay, well, here's how this is going to work, or this is how it's worked in the past. He will be with the cornerback group. Teams can request him to work out as a wide receiver. And when I mean request him to work out as a wide receiver, like when the cornerback drills are over, then a receiver's coach or representative of the combine will put him through a workout with the quarterback, with a bullpen quarterback. So they'll throw routes and things like that. So that's the way it used to be in the past. If you had players that were, say you had a player that was a, if you had a guy that a tight end, that was, you wanted to work out as a wide receiver, see different routes, you can request.
Okay.
And then between groups, they would work out those players.
That's pretty awesome.
So, yeah.
Like, and then I'm sure like pro days, right, when they bring him individually, they can have him work out as both.
He could. Now, I haven't heard yet if he's going to work out or not. He's probably going to wait.
Oh, that's a good point, too.
He's probably going to wait till the pro day in Boulder or his hometown. He could do either one. He could go to his hometown or he can go to Boulder and do that. But you're going to get teams are going to send wide receivers coaches to work out with him. And you're also going to see teams send cornerback coaches or defensive back coaches. But if he wants to work out at the combine and knock it all out, it'd probably be a pretty smart thing to do.
It'd be so fun to see him. Like, in the competitive nature, too, when you get into that type of climate.
Yeah.
Maybe he just says, screw it. I want to jump in with the wide receiver group.
Yeah.
Like, watching him do the gauntlet would be a blast.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. They'll throw him. If you request, they'll throw him in those drills. And they'll just work him out between drills between groups is what they would do.
So he was the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. He had 36 tackles, 11 passes defended, 4 picks. Offensively, 96 catches, just under 1,260 yards, 15 touchdowns. I mean, the dude, I've got him as a first-round receiver or corner. I've got him as my top corner, second receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, he's absolutely phenomenal.
You have the Arizona receiver as number one?
I do.
Okay.
I've got McMillan.
Yeah, there we go.
Now, what is interesting is one notable omission was Shiloh Sanders. Shiloh didn't get the combine invite. Of course, Shador did.
Yeah.
I can't say I'm super shocked by this, just watching Shiloh during the practice at the Shrine Bowl.
Yeah.
It wasn't great.
No, this is where you have to kind of be careful if you're the combine, because the combine takes recommendations from the teams. So it's not like the combine just individually has made the decision. His grades from the NFL teams wasn't good enough to get him in. Now, what you have to be careful about is, do you want Deion Sanders, as outspoken as he is, to...
I wouldn't have wanted to tick off Deion. And that's the guy who's worked with the combine for NFL Network.
That's what I'm saying. And now if you don't bring Shiloh in... Are you risking the fact that maybe Deion Sanders is not interested in helping you, the scouting department, when you come rolling through? You're like, okay, you're going to do this to my son. You don't think he's good enough? All right, well, here we go. We're going to limit the amount of visits you can make to Colorado. We're going to only be open one time. It's going to be during the week of the open week. And good luck getting film and good luck getting information when all the coaches and stuff are gone.
Now, they got a lot of the receivers going. Jimmy Horn Jr. got invited, who I also got to see at the Shrine Bowl. So Colorado's got a decent representation, but Shiloh, that's a great point. I mean, LaJonte Wester, another one of the wide receivers, got invited.
I just don't know if I want to piss off Deion Sanders.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't either. And it's not, I mean, I like I said, not surprising. I kind of just asked a few people. I was at the Shrine Bowl practice, like, where would you see Shiloh going? And it
priority free agent kind of deal?
Yeah. I mean, maybe like a seventh rounder, maybe like if a team took Shador and that was part, like, you want to make sure everybody's happy, you take Shiloh. But he did look lost at times in the coverage ability there. Yeah. But a lot of local kids and Texas schools are going to be represented in this. Jadon Blue, Taj Brooks, the running backs from Texas and Tech, Ollie Gordon, Euless Trinity's own Oklahoma State's going to be there. He got an invite.
Have you watched him play yet on film?
I haven't on film. And I saw either. So much Ollie Gordon 2 years ago.
Yeah, I haven't either. And I know a lot of people have told me, hey, you got to watch him and then watch Blue, the running back from Texas.
Like, I feel like Ollie Gordon's a guy I've got enough base knowledge of. I've just wanted to watch other guys that I'd
Smith
never seen
Smith from SMU
before.
Is a kind of an interesting running back.
Yeah, Rashard Smith's good. Yeah. He is. He's a good player. And I mean, Taj Brooks is one that I get asked about all the time. I watch Taj Brooks at Tech. Like, I married into a Tech family. Taj Brooks is a three-down back. The thing that he lacks is the home run hitting speed. Mm. But I've argued he could be one of the best pass-protecting backs in all of the entire draft. He's phenomenal. But a lot of the Texas kids like Matthew Golden got invited. Isaiah Bond got invited. Besh from TCU will be there. For the most part, you're going to have all the big names did get asked to go. Jalen Conyers is a tight end to watch from Texas Tech as well when he gets out there. That's a good blocker. Gunnar Helm from Texas got invited. So, combine right around the corner. Jets did inform Aaron Rodgers. It's Dunski. You know, we had that report earlier in the week, but it is official now, nearly 2 years after welcoming him. It is done as the Jets issued a statement that they're moving on, and it was important to have this discussion now to provide clarity and enable each of us the proper time to plan for our respective futures. We want to thank him for the leadership, passion, and dedication he brought to the organization and wish him success moving forward. So we'll see where Rodgers ends up. One of the places that we talked about yesterday was Pittsburgh. Well, how about this? The Steelers reportedly called and asked about Trevor Lawrence from the Jacksonville Jags via trade. So Ryan Burr, who is of the Big Ten Network, posted the Steelers have made inquiries to the Jags about a trade for Lawrence. This directly from the horse's mouth in the Jags organization. Now, I'm not sure which horse that would be. Maybe it was Shad Khan. Maybe it was their owner. But they were told no, and the Jags have no plan to trade Trevor Lawrence. But I do love the Steelers even saying, hey, let's try. You got a new head coach. You're moving in a new direction. Maybe they want to go ahead and move forward with something new. Let's see. Maybe Trevor Lawrence ends up being available. And if you're Pittsburgh, that would be a tremendous place to go and resurrect your career if you were Trevor Lawrence. As much as I can't stand the Steelers, that's a hell of an organization right there. But apparently the Jags have no plans to move on from T-Law.
Man, I'd be listening. What are you guys offering? I think Trevor Lawrence is a decent quarterback, but he hasn't shown anything that we should be shy about dipping back into the QB prospecting waters.
Yeah, zero chance was the quote that came out of Jacksonville that they'd actually be willing to part with him. But I you know what? Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's what you say. Publicly, there's zero chance. Yes. Privately, what are we offering?
I think that's a conversation that they'd absolutely still have. So no Aaron Rodgers, but maybe in New York, maybe he still ends up in Pittsburgh. We'll have to see how that ends up developing as the offseason goes on. The Chiefs did tell Travis Kelce he's got until March 14th. So they're giving him about a month to figure out, are you coming back or are you going to go ahead and retire? I saw Ian Rappaport said he believes he's going to be leaning towards retirement, but that's our guy Nate Taylor, who we became buddies with, reported that it will be until March 14th. He's going to have to figured out what he wants to do, and I think that's totally fair.
Yeah, it is totally fair. I just think from an organizational standpoint, I've seen enough. We don't want this anymore. You know, we need young, we need your roster spot, we need your salary spot. You know, if we're going to add other good players, and right now I do feel like it's time to move on and try to find some, you know, the next generation of guys to play with Patrick Mahomes. Brady had three or four different teams in his time with the Patriots.
He did. This was from Pardon My Take. Joe Burrow sat down with those guys over the course of Super Bowl week. He said the Eagles are paying everybody. That seems like the way, whatever they're doing. And he's being asked about, hey, Trey Hendrickson wants a new deal, your best defensive player. T. Higgins, he's been very outspoken. I'm going to find a way to keep him around. So they asked him, okay, explain it to us like were 5 years old. We hear all the time about, you know, contracts and how they're able to move money. Like, what exactly happens when a team comes to you and asks you to restructure a contract?
So you could do a couple different things. You could convert some of the money to a signing bonus, okay, which will lower the cap hit.
Mm-hmm.
You can push some of the money to the back end of the contract,
mm-hmm,
and then when you get to the, that lowers the cap hit, and then when you get to the back end of the contract, you can restructure it and convert it to a signing bonus.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then you can also just take less money.
And which one were you going to do?
We'll see.
And I don't think it's the take less money, but he has been very open. Like, whatever I need to do, whatever you need to do with my contract, do what you have to do because I want T. Higgins here.
He has a good understanding of what potentially needs to be done. So obviously somebody, either his agent or the Bengals, have sat down with him and said, listen, okay, if this is what you want to do, this is a couple different ways. So good for him for, you know, not giving it the standard, well, I'll let my agent handle that. He knows what he has to do. And I think that's always a plus when a player has that understanding.
I agree 100%. Now, speaking of money, James Cook, Bills running back.
Yeah.
That bill's going to be coming due soon. He's got 1 year left on his deal. He put out he wants $15 million a year.
Hmm.
That's what he's looking for. So that's probably not a figure that he just said, okay, I'm going to, that's what I'd like. That would slot him right behind Christian McCaffrey, who's making 19 a year. It would vault him over Jonathan Taylor, who's making 14 mil a year. He'd be making more than Barkley, who's just over 12 and a half, Kamara, and Josh Jacobs. So 15 mil a year does sound very expensive for a running back, but we did see the impact that he had this year for a Bills team that was very close to finally getting over that hump and making a Super Bowl. They're going to have to decide, do we want to pay James Cook $15 million a season? I don't know what they'll decide.
Yeah, you know, that's a tough one right there. I think the answer should be yes for them. James Cook showed over replacement. He gave you what you needed when it came to yards after contact and, you know, making the plays that you pay the runners money for. So they can't ignore the fact that they lost to Stephon Diggs. They trade for Amari Cooper, but he wasn't special, and they still figured out a way to, you know, make it to where they did. So I wouldn't mess with that formula, Wolchuk, considering how close they are.
All right, I'm crazy that where, like, if the Cowboys were to actually win a Super Bowl, when, I mean, by the year, I'm just becoming more and more at peace with the fact I'm probably never going to see one, okay? But $60 is what they are charging if you want to buy Super Bowl confetti. They went ahead and picked up all the confetti from the field, and they're bottling it. And if you want to buy Super Bowl confetti, like if you're an Eagles diehard, you can collect that, and it's in a beer-style container designed to recreate the trophy celebration with every shake of confetti. $60 a piece. You think this is a good price for a bottle of confetti?
I would say so. $60, I'm doing it.
Got it forever.
That's a great holiday present or birthday present for somebody. They're not gouging me too hard. I think I'd probably draw the line under $100. We'll check and they hit it right for me.
Yeah, $60, that's right there. Apparently Eagle fans are buying merchandise like crazy. They've already broken
the record
from the Dodgers, who just won the World Series for the most sales within 24 hours when it comes to Fanatics. And it's not just Pennsylvania. Apparently every state, they've had people buying merchandise, and in over 60 countries. So the birds, they're gaining some fans, and they can go bleep themselves. There's your NFL News of the Day.
Well, thank you, Wolchuk. NFL News of the Day almost every afternoon, 3 o'clock here on 105.3 The Fan. We're talking with Dave Raymond, Texas Rangers Television. When we return here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. We're set to chat here with Dave Raymond, Texas Rangers Television, as pitchers and catchers are out there. They're getting ready to get this party started. Spring training games now right around the corner. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. What do we at here? February 21st, I believe, against the Royals as Dave Raymond joins us now here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Hello. I'm great. I'm great. How are you boys doing?
Man, we are doing awesome. We're so fired up for this Rangers season and the chances they can save us from, the disappointment, frankly, that's encompassed the Cowboys and the Mavericks recently. What do you think? Is this their bounce back year after the post-World Series hangover year that we see so often?
Well, I'll say this much to your point there about what else is going on around here. I mean, I don't know that there's been a better spot for the Rangers to maybe capture the hearts and minds of fans who waffle one way or the other or whatever, or have been indifferent. I mean, it's a great opportunity right now. Yeah. For this team, this franchise, to really, plant a flag in the ground. And I do think that they're well positioned to do that too. So, we're always optimistic this time of year. I think that's sort of natural. But I think there's really good reason this year for Rangers fans to feel like this team could bounce back. Now, listen, predicting world championships is a bold thing to do, but then again, you have the Bruce Bochy every other year pattern that would rear its head again. And I just think they did a lot of work on this team in the offseason. And whether you want to talk about the lineup, or you want to talk about where this rotation sits, or the reconstructed bullpen, they went to work and got a lot of stuff done, and I think they're really well positioned right now.
Now, I guess the pushback would be, other than the World Series month and the first 2 months of the 2023 season, it's been a 500 or below outfit for the last two calendar years. Where do you push back on that, Dave?
Well, I think that's a fair observation, but I also think that that's largely true of baseball. It's just, there's a lot of losing, right? If you're just an absolute kick-ass team and you win 100-plus games in a year, that means you're losing 60 times. So, I mean, there's plenty of losing to go around in this game. It's just the nature of how it works. But you know, to dig a little deeper on that, you're not wrong. I mean, there were the struggles at the end of 2023 were frightening. I mean, that was a free fall there for a bit. And last year was frustrating. Last year was one of those where it just never seemed to quite get off the ground. And, you know, it wasn't horrible, but they never met expectations, even for a 2 or 3 week stretch, right? I mean, they might get hot for a week, but they just could never sustain anything. And so I think it's a fair criticism. At the same time, and anybody can make excuses and certainly use the injury excuse a lot, but it's a factor, and it was a factor last year. They dealt with a lot of that, and even guys that weren't officially on the injured list but were pretty clearly banged up or just playing compromised. And I'll always look at Adolis Garcia's year last year and say that there's no amount of convincing anybody could do that would make me think he wasn't anywhere less than 100% pretty much all year. He looked tired and a little banged up all year. And so I think that was a reality last season. And I think you got a lot of guys who are going to be healthier and in a better place that way. And of course, you're adding in guys like Jacob DeGrom and the emergence of guys like Kamar Rocker and whatnot. Those are significant improvements.
I agree. I mean, Dolie just never seemed like himself. And then you throw in Josh Young and Evan Carter just not being able to stay healthy and battling injuries. Anytime we talked with CY, Dave, late in the season, he stressed offense. And this offseason, they went and they trade for Jake Berger. You bring in Jock Peterson, Kyle Higashioka. How much better do you think this offense can be? Can they get back to that 2023 form that was just the best offense maybe in all of baseball?
Yeah, I'm guilty of believing that this could be, once again, the best offense in baseball. It might be the best offense, and this, I've got to be really careful here, it might be the best, most powerful offense that this franchise has put out. You know, those teams in the 90s were pretty potent, but I would not be surprised to see in the neighborhood of 11 guys on this team in double-digit home runs. You look at a guy like Kyle Higashioka, who's the backup catcher, as we get things started. Well, he hit 17 home runs last year. I've always been a big fan of Jake Berger's, and there are some holes in the game, right? He strikes out a lot. But just look at last year as an example. You know, Seager's a tremendous hitter. No one in baseball would debate that. He squares up a lot of balls. So last year, exit velocities of 110 miles per hour or better. And that's an extraordinarily well-hit ball. He had 12 of those. And that placed him in the top whatever in baseball, top 20, let's say. Jake Berger, compared to Seager's 12, Berger had 31 that he hit at least 110 miles per hour. So we all marvel at watching Seager, you know, square up baseballs and drive them deep into the night. Wait till you see Jake Berger. Now, again, he'll strike out a lot, but in the last, whatever it is, 5 years, I've looked through his numbers. Every single year, his strikeout numbers have gotten better. That's encouraging. and the power doesn't diminish. So, you know, there's a guy who his wife put a goal this year for him of 50 home runs, and but he's not backing away from it either. He's like, well, you know, I could. He's like, the only problem with that is if I come home with 49, is that a disappointment? But so there's, you know, Jock Peterson has great power. This lineup, and what that does when you can fill every hole with guys who can really hit the ball well like that, is then it amplifies the abilities of guys like Seager or Semien or Garcia or Josh Young and Evan Carter and Wyatt Langford. I mean, it's not real difficult to start putting together a list of guys who you think are going to hit a lot of home runs this year. I think that's what this team looks like to me. And then you added some on base with Jock Peterson. And I think if Evan Carter can be healthy and contribute, he's a guy who can get on with much better regularity than some other guys. So I think this lineup looks really stout to me.
Dave, is there a closer currently on the roster right now?
And there's the biggest question of the spring. no, I mean, in the strictest of terms, no, there is not. And that's, you know, we're seeing the team maybe positioning the idea of a closer by committee, putting guys in to fit these roles as they come up during the game and that sort of stuff. And many a team has attempted that or claimed that they were going to do that or whatever. But the list is really short of great teams that have had a lot of success doing that.
Yeah.
You know, you don't see a lot of World Series winning ball clubs that, you know, didn't have a set closer or didn't at least attempt to have a set closer all year. So it's a dicey place to start, but somebody could emerge. And certainly Chris Martin is, I think, the leading candidate in a lot of people's mind is the guy who could take that spot. I think there are, you know, things you could do with maybe a guy like John Gray, but the fact of the matter is they don't have that guy who's proven that he can really handle that role. And so that's, you know, if you're going to identify a concern or two going into the season, I think that would be right at the top of the list.
You mentioned John Gray there. How real do you think that flirtation will be of him possibly sliding in as a closer?
In most of these types of situations, it's one of those that has several other factors that involve other individuals, right? So if, let's just say, for purposes of payroll flexibility and the ability to go get somebody else to fill a need for you, you made a trade, somebody off your staff. Well, you know, it's been suggested that Tyler Mahle would be a good candidate for that because, frankly, that would involve unloading some money, which would be good. Well, if you did that, then maybe you're less likely to experiment with John Gray in that position. Depending on what they want to do with Cody Bradford coming out of spring, right? Cody could be a starter. He could be a long reliever. If they make him a long reliever, then you may have a realistic need to use John in the rotation. So, and then again, if Kamar Rocker comes out lights out, if Jack Leiter looks like he's figured everything out, well, then maybe you've got a surplus of guys, and it would make all the sense in the world. So there's so many moving parts to it. My thinking is if, as an example, go back to the Mahle idea, they want to move Mahle to make room to get somebody else. Well, that's probably going to be to address the closer spot. So you move Mahle, but it's to address a closer, and so then that would also negate the need to try and experiment with John as a closer. But I do think if you want to give that a shot, I think there's something there. I don't know that it would work. I can't say that for certain, but there's something about it that I do kind of like for John.
What do you think of, as far as who's the odd man out in the rotation?
Man, that's a good one, right? Because normally you're trying to figure out who's going to be your fifth starter. And the Rangers are trying to figure out, well, who can't start the season in the rotation. And, you know, Bradford is that guy who's right on the edge there. And I think just because of his experience doing both, pitching a little out of the bullpen and long relief and then being able to swing right back into the rotation. And I also think with his youth, I think you're more comfortable doing that kind of thing with a younger guy, that he becomes, you know, again, at this point, he's probably your favorite that way to be that swing man. And so to start the season in the pen and not in the rotation. But I would tell you personally, I just like him so much in the rotation that's where I would want him. But it's never that simple. So I know they've got a lot of balls up in the air. And again, I think some of that comes down to, can they make a move if they want to make a move? But I think Bradford is probably the easiest for them to go ahead and start him in the bullpen at the start of the year.
Do you think Marcus Semien stays at leadoff, or is there somebody else maybe you'd like to see at that spot?
That's another great one. I mean, if you're really going to maximize what you think you can get out of this lineup, then either, you know, Marcus is going to have to be a little more committed to getting on base more regularly. And at this point in his career, I think you know what you got. And I don't think you can ask him to reinvent himself. I don't think you really want him to. So I do think he probably fits better somewhere else in the lineup. And then if you can, if you could put, Evan Carter there, if Evan's going to play on a regular basis and be, continue to get on base the way he has in his career, then I think that makes a lot of sense. He'd be great for that. At the same time, I don't think this team wants or needs speed in that leadoff spot. And I've talked to Marcus about this a lot over the years. Marcus could steal a lot more bases, but he doesn't want to. He didn't want to open up first base for them just to pitch around Seager. So, if you went with Evan Carter, you would be I think you'd be handcuffing him a little bit to first base and not taking advantage of his potential speed, because, again, you don't want to offer teams that easy out with Corey Seager. So, I could see it's going to be a very tough conversation. Marcus is a proud guy. He sees himself as a leadoff hitter, and I know he wants to do that. I think the team might have some options that would be better there, but at the same time, I don't think he kills them in that spot either. I think he presents that power potential, it's got merit. I mean, he certainly performed well there in 2023, so I don't know why that couldn't be the case again.
Exciting times, Dave. We appreciate your insights, and we hope to see you soon, maybe out there in Surprise, buddy. Have a great rest of your winter, and stay warm.
Yeah, no kidding. Thank you, fellas. Always a pleasure to talk a little baseball with you, and let's go. It's baseball season.
That sounds great, man. It's and warmer days are ahead, which we need. Holy cow. What was it, like 23 degrees when I got in the truck this morning?
Yeah.
Even colder next week.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we were through it, Brian. I really did.
Yeah.
Krusty's Corner is brought to you by Reliant Energy. It's coming up next. Where are you taking us?
Yeah, I'm going to ask Zach to talk me off the ledge about some of these offensive tackles in the draft. We'll do that next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It's time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Energy, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's Brian.
Thank you very much, Phil. Thank you very much to Reliant again for being back with us on Krusty's Corner. Really appreciate you guys. Hey, Dawson, you taught me something today in the pre-show when we were talking. I didn't know that because of cold weather, my tires can lose air.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I did not know that.
You get some alerts up there on the dash?
All four tires.
Wow.
Like, it's funny because...
Do you not park outside usually?
No, I do. I park outside. I get covered, but I'm not in a garage or anything like that. But this is the first time that I've ever had. I thought it was one of those sensor things. You know, when you get an all four tire warning,
mm-hmm.
you're thinking, okay, something with the sensor's not right.
Yeah.
If you get one tire, you're kind of like, okay. You're thinking, if you get one tire, you're thinking, because I live in an area where there's some construction going on.
Sure.
And there's always guys walking around and gals maybe
there was a nail or
dropping.
Oh, I hate that.
Dropping. Every time I go through a construction site, it's like phobia.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I know I'm going to drive over. Somebody was careless. Somebody left their staple gun. It knocked some staples out, or there's a screws on the ground, or, you know, something like that. But when all four tires, I was thinking, man, my tires are only like a year old.
Yeah.
And I was like, they can't be that. That can't be. Do I need to get new tires after a year?
No, but sometimes, like, even from the factory, I know I have a Nissan as well, and one of my tires just had a slow leak in it right off the factory assembly line.
Oh, wow.
And I took it to my buddy Ben there at the tire shop close to Sunnyvale, and he got it fixed up for me. But that one was slow leaking, and whenever the temperature dropped 20 degrees, I kept getting that alert on it.
Oh, did you? Okay, yeah. Well, I got my friends over at Discount Tire. They're
it's
really
pretty
nice
big. I'd say 3 or 4 PSIs it can drop, especially if you go from, like, 80 a couple of days ago down to 25.
Okay.
Yeah, I bet a lot of people are dealing with that.
I mean, normally I keep on that thing. I make sure everything, you know, keep the oil check, keep everything about it right.
Yeah.
But that was shocking when you turn on and all of a sudden that thing just blinked.
Oh, yeah, right at you. Yeah.
And it went from, you know, like the 33 PSIs to
down to 29.
You're at 23.
You're at 23?
No, I went to 23.
Holy cow. That's a big dip.
I know, but that was like, all four tires. I kind of thought the neighbor lady was like,
yeah.
I don't think she likes me very
had
much.
Had enough of your ass?
I think so. I thought maybe she like
get
let air
here.
Out of my
this
tires.
Will show him.
I think she, you know.
He never called me back, that fool.
I was glad that she didn't like stick a knife or something at the side of him or something like that.
Yeah,
but when it's all four, it has to be the weather.
You know,
it?
I have anxiety about that. Yes, I think it is the weather. But what I do is I get one of those things you can plug into the cigarette lighter wherever I go. If I'm getting a flat tire, I'm ready to charge.
Yeah, that's a good plan. I need to get that, and I also need that smaller battery charger thing.
Bang!
Remember the ordeal I had with that? My God,
those things are amazing.
That was terrible. But anyway,
about $80. You can get your own jump starter right there in about a shoebox size.
Okay,
it's amazing.
Well, that's something we definitely need to think of because it's only and I actually joined AAA and I used to have AAA when I was in Green Bay until they one time I needed their help when it was like -6 degrees and they weren't around. They're like, nah, we can't help you. And here I'm paying like every month.
Yeah,
and they. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry, we can't help you. We can't get anybody.
I mean, in Texas, like the roadside assistance is just about as good, you know?
Oh, down the toll
on the highways.
Road, the toll road, they do it really. They do
I mean,
nice.
They help
I love
us
AAA
on 80.
My bad, sorry.
Go ahead, no.
I love AAA because they'll tow you, put you on a truck and get you out of there.
See, that's nice. It's huge.
See, Lucius, I went back.
You got to get 2 or 3 a year, though.
Yeah, I went back in. I said, okay, I'm going back in. I'm going to do this, you know, because the last thing I want to do is be changing a tire, run out of gas. I've been known to like. Act like I'm on the last lap at Daytona and try and make it the gas last a little bit longer than it is. You know, I've been known to do that.
I think AAA is worth it.
Okay.
By the way,
well, I went back in, so we're good. All right, Wolchek, I'm going to challenge you a little bit here.
Challenge.
This is from Pro Football Focus. You know,
Dick.
And they've got the strengths and weaknesses for the top offensive tackles in this draft.
And tackles specifically.
Yeah, tackles.
Okay.
Specifically, and the problem I'm having with this right now is I'm scared to death of a lot of these guys. But I know that potentially Dallas could be looking at this spot, right? I mean, we could be looking at one of these guys.
They could be. I mean, they're definitely, I would think, going to need a guard if Zach Martin's not back.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll be looking at tackle.
Yeah, okay. Or maybe we move one of these tackles.
Or maybe you move a tackle.
Okay. They went through like 5 offensive tackles. Okay, their offensive tackle 1 is Will Campbell from LSU. Okay, now here's I'll go through the weakness. Let me just go through the weakness of that of the player. Okay,
okay,
and you tell me if they've got this guy right. All right, because I've got my thoughts about him too. But I want to talk about his weakness. Higher pre-snap stance leads to high pad level when engaging.
Uh-huh.
Arm length could be shorter than his 6'6 frame suggests. Has some lack of flexibility in his body to stretch his kick and protect the outside shoulder.
Mm.
Does that sound like Will Campbell to you a little bit?
Yeah, because I have in my notes, poor hand placement can be a problem. Will get his hands caught outside at times.
All the time, it seems like.
And yes, he can be a little late with his back pedal. I have that note
kick.
In there,
yeah,
too.
His kick. Yeah.
And I absolutely hate his stance.
That two-point stance.
I hate it.
Yeah. It's so.
He just stands upright.
But like still like. All the other positives, other things positive about him, first round player on your board?
Really strong. I mean, I think he's got a good base. He's good against speed rushers. I think he's another guy that I would look to maybe kick inside to guard, though.
I think you're right about that. Okay, OT number two is Josh Simmons. This is my favorite one from Ohio State.
Okay.
Okay, he's their OT number two. Let me tell you his weakness. Hands have a low starting point, doesn't have true displacement strength in the run game.
I think he's really good in the run game. I do too.
Lower weight makes anchoring tough, though good knee bender and balance help.
Yeah, because in my notes I've got he can get overpowered and pushed back in the lap of the quarterback a couple times. Penn State specifically was a game that I saw for him that wasn't good. But overall, like, I guess his arms are so long. I didn't have an issue with them starting low because I think that he's fast with his hands.
Real quick with his hands. I think he did have some strength in the running game.
I thought he was a phenomenal run blocker is what I put. He moves people off the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Kelvin Banks is number three. Okay, height hints at shorter arm length, which shows on tape.
Yeah.
Not an imposing run blocker. He lacks displacement to move when square with defensive linemen. Too susceptible to push-pull moves. Hands could be more precise at the ready. I think his hands could be a little bit of a problem here.
I think he's a better run blocker than they're giving him credit for. I think he does get movement in the run game. And I think his processing, I think he's a really smart player.
Yeah.
He processes stunts, blitzes really well. But I can understand what they're talking about with the hands.
Yeah. Okay. All three of these guys, would you consider taking at 12 that we've talked about so far?
Simmons, I don't know. With that patellar tendon, that scares the hell out of me now.
Yep.
I would consider Banks. I'd consider Banks and Campbell. I'd love to know what they envision. Like, are they looking at them as I'm going to kick him inside to guard?
Right.
Because Campbell, I think, could be awesome at that. But I'd consider both of them because they are, to me, the two best tackles with Simmons being injured. I'll put that caveat out there. But I'm about building in the trenches, man, so I'm not going to have an issue with that.
Their OT number four is Armad Mbo from
Mizzou kid.
Missouri kid. Okay, let me tell you what they think his weaknesses are. He struggles with anchor on the edge despite his 320-pound weight. He can have trouble lining up guys in space as a puller.
Mm-hmm.
Needs more strength for maintaining blocks.
Yeah.
Need a little bit more finisher's mentality with him.
He can be grabby.
Yeah.
On the outside of the shoulders. I had a note about that. Like, I wonder if that's going to get him in trouble. I think he's a zone run scheme guy.
Yeah.
So I could see, like, a team like San Francisco at 11. I could see them sniping him before you're even on the clock. I think he would, like, I thought he'd fit perfectly with San Francisco, Miami, like that type of Shanahan run scheme. He'll fit well with them.
I didn't feel like, though, that this guy, that I would consider at 12.
Me either. I think the other linemen, to me, are safer.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that they're more on point with what their weaknesses, what they're talking about, and some of the others that we've read here.
Sure.
A little bit. All right, and the last guy is Gray Zabel from North Dakota State. He's going to be offensive tackle 5 for these guys.
Yeah, he's a guard.
Yeah, I think so too. Here's the weakness. Length likely will kick him inside.
Right.
But as a center, thought about him as a center.
Okay.
His height and weight are in the 90 percentile with what their rankings are. Smaller hands, shorter arms. Most of his long reps come from the edge rushers beating him to the inside. Most of his lost reps come from edge rusher beating him inside. So that tells me that they don't feel like that he could slide inside. Like, everything outside, he's good. Does he have the power set? We've seen that with Tyron Smith at times.
Right.
Getting beat to the inside there. Do you like what they said about him, but being a potential center?
I love it.
Yeah.
I didn't think that, but I love Zabel.
Yeah.
And if he was there at 44 and the Cowboys scout him as a center and then you can kick BB to guard, I'd be excited at that. Because the play temperament for me is everything I want in a lineman.
Yeah. They talk about this guy with top tier grip strength, very good at lining up tackles between the shoulders, whether it's on the line. Great athlete for an offensive lineman, explosive step to thrive in zone blocking scheme.
Yep, he's a good athlete.
Very good athlete. Good core strength.
He redirects and recovers well. He can pull and trap.
With the lack of centers in this draft, I think they might have found something here with this guy potentially playing.
I didn't even think of him as a center, but he's played all around the offensive line.
Yeah.
Like, he spent time at left guard, right tackle, played left tackle this past season. So position flex, I wouldn't put it past him to be able to. He's super smart.
Yeah, he is.
He could play center.
Yeah, he looked good in the Colorado game against good competition.
Great. Yeah, he did.
And he was good at the Senior Bowl.
I love it, boys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our draft coverage, the best in the nation, not just in DFW or Texas. Put these guys against anybody. Coming up, it's hour number three of the nation. We have Cowboys Twitter, what Micah Parsons has to say about the Jones Boys, a financial investment into winning, and more. That's coming up next here on The Fan.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.